Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning Lilui Nishmas Mirim Fron, Mirim Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah Hasham, Hasham should have an Aliyah in the merit of our Torah. Welcome. So I'm very happy, Avigail. I'm happy all of you are here, which I told you already before Avigail came in. But Avigail specifically was wondering, last time we didn't understand the Gemara. There was a much larger group last week. A bunch of people are away, I know. We discussed we touched upon the idea of tzedakah, giving charity within the community. A lot of questions and a lot of comments came up. And therefore, tonight's shir is really an El Shir, Teshuva Tefillah Tzedakah Ma'avir and Esrawa Hagzera. We are, of course, about to usher in. Cannot believe that it's Chodesh Elul, the last month of the year of Tavshin Ayichas, 5778, and one of the tenets of our faith, and we declare it in one of the most impactful and emotional parts of the Yamim Noraim, the high holiday services, is that teshuvah, repentance, tefillah, prayer, utzedakah, and charity, ma'avir, and esro ha'gzeira. Considering last week that we spoke about charity, this inyan of tzedakah, this matter of tzedakah, and there were so many questions that came up, I delved much more into the sources, and we were going to revisit that, given that it is Elul, and also to clarify a lot of what was said last week. So I'm going to begin with a story. The Medrash comments on the pasuk from Yeshayahu, Vayilbash tzedakah kashirion. He wears tzedakah as a breastplate. Okay, that's what the pasuk says. And the Medrash says every scale on the breastplate joins with others and makes a large breastplate. And then the Medrash says it's the same with tzedakah. Every penny adds up to make a large sum. Okay, so what's the chiddush? On this teaching of Levi Yitzchak Abraditch's said, it would be seen that this is simple logic. Obviously, every penny or every dollar adds up to make a large sum. What is the Medrash teaching you? That every penny adds up to make a large sum? The Medrash had to comment on this, that just like the stones add up to the breastplate, so too tzedakah adds up to a great amount. It seems obvious every penny that one gives to tzedakah joins with the tzedakah. One gives today, one gives the next day, then you have a large amount. What's the Medrash teaching you? The Medrash makes the comparison with tzedakah because if the breastplate is missing some of its stones, it serves no purpose. This being the case, when a person adds one piece to the breastplate, it's considered as if he made the whole breastplate. Or think like a coat of armor. It says scales. So if a soldier is a coat of armor, but a scale is missing here, you know, like in the olden days, what they looked like, you've seen the old knights, they look like scales. So if one is missing from here, one is missing here, one is missing right over the heart, and the arrow goes in right over the heart, then the whole breastplate is worthless. This is the same with tzedakah. When a poor person says he is missing one penny to make a gilder, in order to buy his chicken in honor of Shabbos, whoever gives him the last penny, it's as if he gave him the whole gilder. He gets credit for contributing the entire chicken. It's as if he completed the whole thing, because without that final penny or that final, what is it? Penny, gilder, pruta, dollar, you can't buy what you need. And if several people contribute to the per person, everyone gives one penny, so that he ends up with one gilder. Each person who is given is rewarded as if he gave the whole chicken. This is what it means that he wears tzedakah as a breastplate, just like every scale is crucial, and every stone on the Kohen Gadol's breastplate, on the high priest's breastplate is crucial, and without it, there is no total entity. So too, without every pruta, without every penny, without every dollar, without every gilder of tzedakah, there is a lack. He who gives it completes it as if he made the whole thing whole, made the whole thing complete. Now, I thought it was very, very interesting that the Gemara that we quoted last time, Avigail, outside, and you said what was so bad about the story with the lentils, we wanted to understand more in depth. We're going to revisit it, okay? But you will consider it fascinating. I consider it fascinating. It's based on this week's parsha. You know, we talk about Ashkacha, like when we were up to Tisha B'Av, so the Sefer was quoting Psukim from Eicha. So the very idea that we spoke about last time, we quoted the Gemara outside from Maseches Ksuvos, which we're going to revisit now more in depth, is all based on Psukim from this week's parsha, from Re'eh. So here we go. It's this week's parsha. The questions came up last week, and I said, let's revisit it. And when is it? This week's parsha. Welcome. So I'm reading you the Psukim. I'm in Re'eh, Perek Tes Vav, chapter 15, Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. Just listen to the Psukim, please. When there will be amongst you a destitute person from one of your brothers, in one of your cities, gates, in your land that Hashem gives you, lo ta'ameit es levavcha, you shall not harden your heart, velo tikpots es yadcha, do not close your hand, me'achicha ha'evyon. When there is a death to the person in one of your cities in your gate, that the land that God gives you, do not harden your heart, do not close your hand. Rashi says there very famously, first of all, he is more destitute takes precedence. One who is a brother from the father takes precedence over a brother from the mother. Anya ir chakod mim, you've all heard this, la anya ir acheres. The poor of your city take precedence over the poor of another city. Okay? What does it mean not to harden your heart? You have people, they're deciding, should we give, shouldn't we give? Therefore, it says, you should give. Do not harden your heart. Why does it say, me'achicha avion, from your brother, the destitute person? Anyone knows? Imlo sitain lo, if you do not give him, what will happen? Sofcha in the end. What do you think will happen? It's mida kenega mida. If you do not give to him, yeah?
You're not going to have.
You're going to end up being the Evyon. Sovcha lios achiv sha'avin. In the end, you're going to be the brother of the Evyon, meaning you're going to be like him in poverty. Continues the Pasuk. Ki pasoach tiftach es yarchalem. I'm going to translate everything I'm saying. You shall surely open your hand to him. V'ha'aveit ta'avitenu daimach sero. Grant him what? Here's the Pasuk. Ready? Havet ta'avitenu de machsaro asher yachsolo. You have to surely grant him what is enough for what he is lacking. Now the question is, and the Gemara is going to expand upon this, what does it mean what he is lacking? And this is what we started to touch upon last week. Does it mean he's only lacking chicken because he does not have food? Or does it mean the mother should have a beautiful Shabbos dress because that is also a lack? We're going to go inside to the Gemara. Okay, be very careful lest you have a bad thought in your heart. You're saying, you know, it's coming up to Shemitah and then it's going to be up to you and everything goes back, all the debts are wiped out in those years, so he's not going to have to pay me back, so I don't want to lend him. You should be very careful, because if he calls out to Hashem against you, you will have a sin. So now we come to the power of prayer on behalf of the pauper. He's going to cry because your heart was hardened, because you're worried about not getting back the money. He's going to call out to Hashem against you. Rashi points out, by the way, you will have sin even if he doesn't call out against you. It's not only if he calls out against you, the pauper, for not giving. Even if he doesn't call out against you. Nason titeno, you shall give, you shall surely give. Why double lashon? Give, you shall surely give. Rashi says, afilu mea pa'amim, even 100 times. Velo yera levavcha besitchalo, do not let it be bad in your heart when you give to them. Because of this matter, Hashem will bless you in all of the undertakings of your hand. Because the pauper will not cease from amongst the land, therefore I am commanding you, pasoach tiftach es yadcha, open, you shall surely open your hand, la'achicha, to your brother, la'aniyacha, to the pauper, ulo avioncha, and to the destitute one, ba'artzacha, in your land. Okay, Rashi says on the pasuk that the Gemara expands upon. Is everyone with me so far? I'm doing a scrolling the pasukim with some Rashi's. Okay, ki pasoach tiftach es yadcha, you shall surely open your hand. Afilu kama pa'amim, even if it's repeatedly, you can't say to him, "Oh, you came to me last year, and you came to me the year before, and you came to me before many times." Ki pasoach tiftach. V'ha'aveit ta'avitenu, grant, you shall surely grant. If he doesn't want it as a gift, give it to him as a loan. So in other words, if he has, if he's embarrassed to take it as a gift, find a way to give it to him as a loan. What is dai machsaro, enough for his lack, mean? And that was really what the discussion last week touched upon. What does it mean, enough for lack? Is it lentils? Or is it fat and foul and aged wine? The Gemara gives two different examples. What is enough for his lack? You're not commanding to make him rich. However, what he is lacking, this is what was quoted last week, Chani brought it up, afilu sus lirkov alav, you're even required to give him, what did we just say? A horse to ride upon, ve'eved larutz lefanav, and a slave to run before him. So, it's not so clear that we're just talking about lentils, and that we're just talking about chicken. That is certainly, by objective standards, a very great luxury. A horse to ride upon and an eved to run before him cannot be considered the bare essentials, but it seems to be that there is some time when that is considered the bare essentials. So the pasuk says, pasuch tiftach es yarchlo. This is the pasuk that the Gemara is going to spend time expanding upon in Ksubos. Surely open your hand. What did Rashi say? Afilu kama pa'amim. What does it mean, havei ta'avitenu? If he doesn't want it as an outright gift, what should he do? Give it to him as a? You know, you could borrow from me. When you could pay back, pay back. And if he never pays back, the Gemara is going to say this, then what should you do? Not run after him. Okay? Asher yachsarlo, what is missing? Even a horse and to ride upon and a servant to run upon him. What about the last word of the pasuk? Why does it say asher yachsar lo? It could just say asher yachsar, what he is missing. Why lo to him? What does Rashi say? Does anyone know?
Because it's particular to each person.
Say it again.
It's unique to each person. person.
Okay, so it is unique to each person, which we're going to talk about shortly. That's poseach asyadacha mespiel l'chol chai ratzon. No, that is, I forgot the, wait, bear with me. Yes. Yes, but that's not what Rashi says here. Rashi says here, lo, you know you have to find for him included in this mitzvah? Zo isha. What's an isha? A wife. Mamish, this is expanding upon from the Gemara. How does the Gemara learn that out? I mean, though I'm quoting Rashi on the Pasuk, because by the creation of Isha, you were in that class on Chava. Here we are again. By the creation of Isha, lo tov heisa adam levado, eser, what's the next word? Esa? Lo. Ezer Kenegdo. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make lo for him. I help opposite. It says lo by the creation of Isha. It says lo by giving a proper tzedakah. So the Gemara says, oh, it says lo both times. What do you have to do? Find for him? Hello?
A wife.
Oh, I shouldn't have closed this. Okay. So that's this week's parsha. Mamashi's questions came up last week. So I went to the Gemara and I said, let me see. The Gemara is expanding upon this week's parsha. We're coming up to Elul. And we began by saying teshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, teshuva, repentance, prayer, and charity annul or erase the evil decree. That means that tzedakah is on the same level as teshuva, the same level as aziva sechei, leaving the sin. Charata ala avar, feeling bad about what I did. Kabbalah ala asi, taking upon the future. Vidui, oral confession. It's unbelievable. The Rambam writes us in Hilchos Teshuva, how great is the power of teshuva? It's as if you have a new name. You are a new person. You're a different person when you repent. But giving of tzedakah is on this level. And someone told me something very nice. You know, told me Rabbi Zakutinsky from SKA, the head of SKA. We spent Shabbos in Camp Kaylee last week. And after one of my shirim, he told me that Elul is an acronym. The famous one is Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. I am to my beloved God, and my beloved is to me. It's a time to come close back to Ribono Shel Olam. So that would be Bein Adam L'Makom, the aspect of improving personal relationship between man and God. But he told me that Elul is also an acronym for, does anyone know, the Bein Adam?
We did it last year.
We said last year?
From Miguel
Zester. Oh, Ishla.
Very nice. Ishla Rei Ehu. We said it last year and Shir?
We had the class about the lanings for first day Rosh Hashanah and second day Rosh Hashanah.
The what?
The lanings. The
Torah
readings for first day.
The what? Where
did she? The Torah readings.
Lanings.
Torah readings. Yes, based on Rabbi Penner. Yes. And Sarah. Hagar, not knowing she was in the spotlight, and Akiz Yitzchak.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about? Thank God I remember. Awesome. Thank God you remember. Okay, Ish L'Rei Ehu, very good. Umatanus L'Avyonim. So Elul is not just a time to improve Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, improve my relationship with my beloved, meaning Avinu Melkeinu, my father, my king in heaven. That's one aspect of Elul. The other aspect of Elul is represented in Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. Ish L'Rei Ehu, one man reaches out towards his friend. Umatanus L'Avyonim. What's Umatanus L'Avyonim? Exactly what we're talking about. Gifts to the poor. Lo sik pot es yadcha me'achicha avyon. How interesting that Re'e is always read as we usher in Elul. Devarim is always read Erev Tisha B'Av. Veschanan is always read Shabbos Nachamu. If you follow this calendar, Re'e is always read the Shabbos before. Then we're going to be, or as we're ushering in this week, as we're ushering in Rosh Chodesh Elul Shabbos Sunday, as we're ushering in Elul, you have this idea of not to harden your heart and close your hand against achicha ha'avyon. Ish L'Rei Ehu, one man reaching out to his friend, Umatanos L'Evyonim. Rav Salvechuk says on tzedakah. Any questions or comments, by the way? Yes.
I've been wondering something about Kol Nidra, and it's probably my suspicious nature. You know, when people... Yeah, I'm jaded. When people are making their pledges and donating money. And I remember the first time I went into an Orthodox shul and I heard announcements about how much people donated, because I'm very secretive. I'm like, yeah, I'm the anonymous donor. Like, don't say anything. But I thought to myself, would that encourage lashon hara? Like, is somebody going to say, oh, he gave $100 and I know and I saw that he's driving a new car, he could have afforded to give more? I wondered about that.
Not all shuls announce the amount.
What?
Not all shuls announce the amount. Our shul gives out cards, and you hand the card back down the aisle. And
it's very possible that it will lead to some not nice speech about other people. We hope that it won't, but it's possible that it will.
The reason they do it is to really encourage people to give like more.
Yeah,
that, you know, it's peer pressure. You know,
it's not such a
No, I'm just saying why people.
That's why they pledge.
We
don't
know that.
Always give it afterwards.
We don't really have anything to say, Nancy. Everyone has to try and give what they can and keep their mouth shut about everybody else.
Also, not all the people are spontaneous. Meaning, usually people are planted within the audience who were planning to give beforehand and are told to announce it that way, encourages other people. It's not necessarily for the people giving then, it's for the people to go home and talk with their spouse of like, wow, so many people are giving, it would be so nice. So sometimes it's people who were chosen by the board or by people beforehand to announce it, to encourage people like, wow,
okay,
they raised.
That's interesting.
Okay,
interesting.
Very nice. Okay, let's go. Rav Soloveitchik says, okay, we're going to all read and declare, Be'ezras Hashem, Mishul Bilal, Nusana Tokav Kedushas Hayam. Let us now relate the power of the day's holiness, Kunara V'ayam. It is awesome and fearful and on it, God's kingdom, so to speak, is enthroned, and he sits in Chesed on his throne, and he dwells in Emes. He is the judge, and he will prove, and he knows, and he is the witness, and he writes, and he stamps, and he keeps the track, and he remembers everything that is forgotten, and he opens the book of remembrances, and it reads by itself. The Chosam Yad call Adam Bo, and the hand of every person signs on the name. I have to tell you what happened to me. This is a true story. Last Thursday was a very long day. Baruch Hashem. And at night I was preparing for Shabbos, and I still had work to do, and when I was putting the kids to bed, the good night, and this and that, one of them was saying he doesn't read enough. No matter how much he read, he did not read enough. It could be 9 o'clock, I didn't read enough. 9:30, I didn't read enough. 10:30, I didn't read enough. 10:45, I didn't read enough. Like, it's time to go to sleep. Anyway, he didn't read enough. I said, it's time to go to sleep. About half hour. He says, you know, I peeled potatoes for you, mommy. He did. And I'm very happy I peeled potatoes for you, but it took away from my reading time. And I was really like, I think I had no patience left. And I stopped and I thought to myself, I promise you I thought this to myself. Baruch Hashem was able to have one moment of clarity. Halavai should have many more. I thought, Michal, be very careful. When you get up to the Olam HaEmes, the world of truth, after 120 years, this scene is going to be played back. Mm. Be very careful how you respond right now. They're going to play back to you on the Jumbotron, the Havda Alpha of Dallas. And then what are you going to say? So I said, with a great deal of restraint, you can read for 10 more minutes on the couch in my bedroom. And that was it. And then the other brother says, he always gets what he wants. I said, you worry about your Avodas Hashem. Don't worry about his Avodas Hashem. He went to read for 10 minutes. At the end of 10 minutes, which he timed by himself, because I went back down to the kitchen, he came down and he said a good night to me. The Chosam Yad Kol Adam Bo. Your signature is there. You did it. You cannot deny in the world of truth. Ubashofar Gadol Yitaka V'kol D'mamadaka Yishama. Umalachim Yechafezun. The angels are trembling. A great fear seizes them. Hinei Yom Adin. It's the day of judgment. To hold the accounting for everybody in judgment. Because who can be seen as righteous before you in Din? And all inhabitants of the world pass before you like sheep before the shepherd, who is counting the flock under his staff. So we pass under and we are counted. V'sifkot nefesh kol chai. V'sachtoch kitzva l'chol b'yosacha. Everybody gets their needs. Everyone gets at a point of time. Everybody gets judgment. V'sichtov es gezar dinam. And everyone's gezar din is read. Okay, b'rosh Hashanah yikaseivun v'yomtzom kibri yechaseimun. I'm not going to go through the whole second paragraph, maybe a little. Mi b'mai, mi b'esh. Do you know that there were over 70 rockets tonight and Wednesday night through Thursday morning in Eretz Yisrael in the south? Over 70 rockets. Mi b'mai, mi b'esh, mi b'cher, mi b'chai, mi b'rab, mi b'tzama. Who by water, by fire, by sword, by wild beast, by hunger, by thirst. U'seshuva, u'sefila, u'tzedaka, ma'avirnas rach gzeirov. Salvechik says, the Rambam writes, part of the process of teshuvah is for the penitent, the repentant, to constantly yell out before Hashem, tefillah, cry out in supplication, and engage in charity according to his ability. The meaning of this statement is that teshuvah, inspired repentance, inspired via prayer and charity, averts the evil decree, so that the teshuvah should be inspired by the prayer and the charity. The Gemara says in Masachas Rosh Hashanah, ready? I'm continuing to quote Rav Soloveitchik, derives the principle that charity is part of the teshuva process. Where do we know this from? Immediately after the episode of the Chet HaEgel, okay, after the golden calf, Moshe spends first 40 days up there, then another 40 days and 40 nights davening for forgiveness, and another 40 days and 40 nights until Yom Kippur, when he gets the second luchos, he comes down, salachti kivaracha, that's the famous, I forgave you like your words, that was first uttered by God after the sin of the golden calf. On the first Yom Kippur, Moshe comes down with the second luchos, and motzei Yom Kippur, what do they start to do? Collect donations for the Mishkan, for the tabernacle that they built in the desert. Immediately after the episode of the golden calf, meaning once they were forgiven, okay, Hashem commanded the Jews to donate to build the Mishkan. But did God really need a Mishkan? Why did the people have to contribute something that wasn't really needed? The answer is Hashem is teaching us. Giving tzedakah is part of the teshuva process for having worshipped the golden calf. Giving tzedakah to the Mishkan, b'chal ish asher yidvenu libo, me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo tichu eschu masi. From every person whose heart motivates him to give, you shall take the contribution for the Mishkan. It was tzedakah, which was part of the process of repentance for having engaged in the sin of the golden calf. They could not give tzedakah to poor people in the desert. Why not?
Everything is provided
for Hashem. We just had a Rashi last week. Rashi says the Anane HaKavod, your clothing did not wear out. Rashi says the Anane, the clouds of Goy pressed their garments. And Rashi says the children's clothing grew with them like a snail shell. My daughter brought in a beautiful snail yesterday from the garden. It was so gorgeous in the shell. Its tail was out, its antenna were out, everything fell on the kitchen floor. I said, Tamar. By accident. I said, please take it back outside. I'm afraid the shell is going to crack. I was thinking of this Rashi. Rashi says that the clothing of the children grew with them in the desert. Everything was provided. You needed food, God gave you food. You needed water, God gave you water. You needed shade, there was shade. You needed housing, Hashem provided all. So what were they supposed to do? There were no beggars or paupers. It was a, quote, classless society. So Hashem said, you need tzedakah as part of the process of repentance. What should you do? Donate to the Mishkan, says Rav Soloveitchik. Sin, listen to the next sentence. Sin is a result of selfishness. Temptation overrules sacred principles. One abandons tradition because of the little pleasure you expect to derive from the performance of the forbidden deed. I will repeat that. Every sin is really rooted in this. One abandons tradition or Jewish law or don't eat from the fruit of the tree because of the little pleasure you expect to derive from the performance. What is that? Sorry. Hashem Yishmar Aleinu. The performance of the forbidden deed. Tzedakah. So now I ask you, why is tzedakah part of the teshuva process? If sin represents selfishness, what do I need? What do I want? How do I feel? My word overrides the word of God. That's sin. So what is the opposite? Selflessness. What is mostly, how would you say, what is the quintessence of selflessness? Tzedakah. Therefore, tzedakah in contrast, says of salvation, demonstrates sympathy. It's the opposite of sin. Now we understand why tzedakah has to be part of the teshuva process. Teshuva is aziva sachay, leaving the sin. The root of sin is selfishness. What do I need? Never mind what God needs. What do I want? Never mind what God wants. How do I feel? Never mind how that person feels. The opposite of that is tzedakah, which demonstrates sympathy, compassion, selflessness, and a willing to share with others. For this reason, quote, forgiveness can only be attained through tzedakah. Quote, says Rav Soloveitchik, tzedakah is a kind of ransom. A sinner, in essence, is a captive. Who is he prisoner to? He's prisoner to sin itself. Him himself, as Yetzer Hara would say, and sin himself. And in order to redeem himself, he has to pay a ransom. What is the ransom? A kofar, a redemption payment for his soul. 1 second. And there Soloveitchik touches upon the idea that why is tzedakah, what word is tzedakah from?
Tzedek.
What does tzedek mean?
Righteousness.
Why isn't it called chesed, which is acts of loving kindness? It denotes two different things. Justice, righteousness, tzedek. It seems to be an inappropriate term to describe the act of giving charity. Performing charity is usually understood as falling under the category of chesed, kindness. We owe nothing to the poor person. The impoverished person, the achicha avion, has no legal claim. Where's the justice? An act of charity. Charity maybe should be called chesed, but the Rambam explains in Moreh Nevuchim, charity is an act of justice. It's not a free will offering. Halacha views it as an act of justice. Quote, listen to this. There is no other legal system in the world, aside from the Jewish legal system, that allows the taking of charity by force. But there is an explicit ruling in the Gemara and Bava Basra. It is permissible to remove objects from the home of a prosperous person who refuses to give charity, even on Friday, just before sundown. I'm a little, I don't want to use the word upset. I'm sorry that the people who were here last week, who really heard the prelude to this, could not, for I'm sure very legitimate reasons, I'm just sorry that they could not be here this week to review this much more in depth. Listen to this. There's an explicit ruling in the Gemara, in Bava Basra, Ches, Amud Beis. It is permissible to remove objects from the home of a prosperous person who refuses to give charity, even on Friday, just before sundown, says the Rav. There is no other legal system in the world that allows taking tzedakah by force, because to the world, they consider charity an act of chesed. Meaning, if I feel like having chas, what is chesed? Chas, compassion. Chas, klash, baruch, akvul, and shobios. If I feel like having mercy and compassion, I could give you. And if I don't feel like giving to you, I don't have to, because whose money is it? Shali, shali, shacha, shacha. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Not so tzedakah, it's an act of justice. It is an obligation under Jewish law. Most Rishonim agree. Why did the Torah establish this as a financial obligation? Because Hashem wants to ingrain within us the concept that all money is really His. Whatever He gives us is on condition of our giving charity. So really, what do I care if that person buys chickens, or I forget the brand of shoes that was brought up last week. I don't buy for my kids even when they were younger. Vanatini, what are they called? Those shoes called? Vanatini shoes, yeah. So what am I passing? What do I care? What kind of shoes they buy? I have an obligation to pass on the money. I have an obligation. I'm not the Rav of the community. I'm not in charge of the tzedakah fund. I have an obligation to give my... It's not chesed. It's not optional. They can come into my house, Erev Shabbos, and take away my possessions if I refuse to give the tzedakah. Hashem wants to ingrain within us the concept that all money is really His, and whatever He gives us is conditional on our giving tzedakah. Avram was the first to reveal this aspect of charity to the world. It's not only charity, but other mitzvahs as well, based on Hashem's ownership of the world. So it's crucial, it helps us beautifully understand why tzedakah is part of the teshuvah tefillah tzedakah. Why not say teshuvah? Teshuvah, I understand, repentance. You made yourself into a new person, you have a new name. It's a halachic process, by the way. Charata ala avar, you regret the sin. Aziva sachay, you leave the sin. Vidui, or a confession. Kabbalah ala asid, you're never going to do this again. You take it upon yourself for the future. Included in that is asking forgiveness of your friend if it was a bein adam lechaveru, which, by the way, is not easy. Takes greater courage to ask your friend for forgiveness than to ask God for forgiveness, Allah. And that's why the very last Mishnah in Maseches Yuma, the very last Mishnah in Av Yuma, I believe it's Peres Ches, Mishnah Tes, says, Yom Kippur is not mechaper on sins bein Adam lechaveru ad sheyartza es chaveru. There is no atonement on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, for sins between man and fellow man until you appease your friend. It's very easy to say, please God, forgive me. How easy is that? Really easy. How many times do we clap al chait? If you got a shul for everyone, it feels 10 times. 5 times on your own, 5 times with the Chazar Sashats, 10 times, I'm clapping a whole list. Not so hard. To call your friend and say, listen, I dropped the ball, I'm sorry, I'm embarrassed, this is what I did. Not so easy. So there's a process to teshuva. So I understand why teshuva is ma'avir nesroa hagzeira. Because the roa hagzeira was against Mr. X. I'm not Mr. X, I'm now Mr. Y. The Rambam says you get a new name. So of course it's ma'avir nesroa hagzeira. Tefillah. It's one of the tenets of our faith. Since the forefathers established the daily prayers, that tefillah has the koach to erase all ills. We believe that Hashem is the shomei tefillah and the mekabel tefillah. What's tzedakah doing here? Yes, it represents the bein adam lechaveru aspect. But now we understand that based on this teaching of the Rav, on a much deeper level, it's a ransom. Why? Because sin represents selfishness. I need. I must talk Lashon Hara. I'm better than you. I want to steal. I'm not going to make my brachos properly because I don't have time. I don't want to wait my full 6 hours. Whatever it is, okay? Whatever, fill in the blanks. Sin is selfishness. Tzedakah is the absolute opposite. 180 degree turn. It represents that you are selfless. So tzedakah is a springboard to get you to the full process of teshuvah. It's a ransom demonstrating you are an entirely different person. Is everyone still with me? Okay. interesting, in the Sefer, it's really a book, different vignettes of like different sayings that Hasidic Rebbe's teachings, by Simcha Raz. He also wrote the biography of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kluck, an angel among men. He also wrote the biography of Rav Aryeh Levine, Zecher Tzaddik Mivracha, Tzaddik in Our Time. He has a book out on Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. So this is called Tales of the Righteous. So this is crazy. I'm preparing for this shiur. Not crazy. There's a lot of Ashkacha, which is tonight's shiur, which is what we brought up last week. It's this week's parsha. That's first of all. That's all versus Ashkacha. Second of all, it's Erev Elul. Elul is the time when we start to improve on teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah. But look at this. You shall surely give. Devarim 15:10. You know what it's quoting from? Our parsha. Okay. Rav Simcha Bunim of Pesischa was traveling back home. He stayed in an inn. In that town, for those who don't see, it's called Tales of the Righteous by Simcha Raz. Okay. Rav Simcha Bunim of Pesischa was traveling home. He stayed in an inn. Listen to this. After this, we're going into the Gemara. In that inn, there lived a Rav Zalman Chassid, a giant in Torah and good deeds, but very, very poor. When Rav Simcha Bunim entered the inn, he called for this Rav Zalman. He was dressed in rags. He was dressed in tattered clothes. It was freezing cold, but Rav Zalman was the town pauper. He had nothing. Rav Simcha Bunim told Rav Zalman, go buy food. Go buy a meal. He gave him a large sum of money. Rav Zalman went to the market. He bought food, meat, fish, drinks. There was ample money left. After Rav Zalman left, Rav Simcha Bunim sent a worker to buy boots and clothes and coats for the necessary clothing. Before eating, the rabbi told the inn worker, bring the clothing to the house of Rav Zalman Chassid. Rav Simcha Bunim went to Rav Zalman Chassid. He sent all the people out of the house, and he saw now he has good food, and now he has nice clothing, the whole household is dressed, they're not going to be cold. The house was filled with light and joy. They sat down to a wonderful meal. They drank and enjoyed. So what I'm about to illustrate with this incredible story is that we just said sin is selfishness, and tzedakah is selflessness. But sometimes tzedakah is not necessarily selflessness. Sometimes it's not. Listen, when Rav Simcha Bunim was getting ready to leave, Rav Zalman came to see him and he gave him a blessing for everything that the rabbi gave him. Rav Simcha Bunim took out a gold dinar, a gold coin. Rav Zalman refused. My master, Rabbi, he said, I have money left from the meal. I have the clothing you gave me. I don't need your gold dinar anymore. I'm set for the whole winter. Rav Simcha Bunim said, quote, one who gives tzedakah out of pity, because he has mercy on the poor, he cannot stand to see him hungry and cold, has not fulfilled the mitzvah of tzedakah. In such a case, one is not giving to the poor, but giving to himself, to make himself feel better, so his heart won't ache. This is food for thought. Just listen. Even when I gave you tzedakah, it was out of mercy. I couldn't bear to see your pain and your coldness and the members of your household in rags. But now that you're dressed in beautiful clothing, now I'm not doing chesed. Now I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, with that, let's go to the Gemara that started this whole discussion. Any questions or comments? Yeah? Was that a yes?
No.
Oh. Okay. Ready? I hope the people on here are going to listen to this. I know it's like homework. I don't know. We'll see. So we're in Maseches Ksubo, Samech Zayin Amud Beis, 67b. A yasam who comes to get married. By the way, dai machsaro. Remember the pasuk asher yachsar lo. You have to give him enough of what he lacks to him. You have to give him enough. You don't have to make him rich. What he lacks, even a horse and a runner to ride in front of him, to him. The final word of the pasuk was lo.
To him, right?
What should you give to him?
His wife.
An isha. Find him an isha. A yosam shabal lisa, when an orphan comes to get married, you have to rent for him a house. I'm not going to read you the whole lashon of the Gemara because we're starting to run out of time. Umatzi'in lo mita, you have to rent for him a house. You have to supply him with a bed, v'kol klei tashmisho, everything required for his use, and then masi'in lo isha. So when a boy comes and he's a yosam, an orphan, and he wants to get married, you have to make sure he has a place to rent, and that he has a bed, and that he has all his furnishings, and then you go and find him a shidduch. Continues the Gemara. Dai machsaro, which is the quote from our pasuk in Re'eh, according to what he lacks, to the extent of his needs. Ata mitzuva alav lefarneso. You are required to support him. Ve'i ata mitzuva alav la'asho. You don't have to make him rich. Asher yachsar lo, what is lacking? Afilu sus lirkov alav ve'eved larutz lefanav. Even if it is a horse. Now we would say a horse. I have to give him a horse? I gave him chicken and potatoes. and eggs and grape juice and challah loaves and a horse. The eved arutz lefanav. Amru alav al Hillel hazakein. They said about the great sage Hillel the elder, Shalakach ani ben tovim echad. He took a pauper who was from an aristocratic family. Sus lir kavala, the eved arutz lefanav, the horse and the slave to run before him. Pam achas lo matza eved arutz lefanav. One time, they tackle, couldn't find an eved to run before the pauper. So what did Hillel do? What do you think Hillel did?
He himself ran.
What?
Hillel himself.
Virat Lafanov Shlosha Milin. How far is Shlosha Milin? Approximately 1.7 to 2.27 miles. I'm reading from the footnote in art school. It tells you a mil is a measured distance to 2,000 amas. 3 million is approximately 6,000 amas. Okay, over 2,000 miles. Who ran before him? Hillel himself. Now, the Gemara talks about Anshe Galil Ha'alyon in the Upper Galilee. There was a certain ani from an aristocratic family. They gave him a litra of meat every day. What was so extraordinary about a litra of meat? It came from fancy fowl meat. Litra basar mishal ofos. They didn't just give chicken. They gave, I don't know, what would be considered? Duck.
Dark meat chicken.
Okay, dark meat chicken versus white meat chicken. They gave duck. They gave fancy fowl meat. Furthermore, there weren't so many people in the town. It was a small village. They had to waste an entire animal. This is another opinion of the Gemara, what was so great about what they did, just to shecht for this person, and they did it nevertheless. They shechted just for this person. Here we go. Ready, Rabbi Nechemia. There was a certain pauper who came to Rabbi Nechemia, Bama Atasoed. And Rabbi Nechemia said, what are you accustomed to dining on? So he said, Bibasar Shamein, fatty meat, Viyayan Yashan, old wine, aged wine. So Rabbi Nechemia says, Ritzoncha, Shetigal Gel Imi Badashim. Well, I'm eating. Come on, ladies, we said it last week, lentils. Gilgal imo ba'ad. So by the way, I wanted to look up if he spoke to him not nicely. He didn't. All he said is, what are you used to eating? Fatty wine, fatty meat, which is like brisket, first cut, excellent, expensive, and aged wine. All he said was, Ritzoncha shetigalgal imi ba'adashim. Would you like to join him for a meal of lentils? Gilgal imo ba'adashim. The pauper had lentils, vames, and he died. Amar, Rabbi Nechemia said, Oy lo lezeh shaharago Nechemia, woe to this pauper that Rabbi Nechemia killed him. So the Gemara says it shouldn't say woe to the pauper that Nechemia killed him. What should it say? Woe to who?
Nechemia.
Oh, very good. Beautiful. It should say woe to Nechemia that he just killed somebody. Woe to the pauper that Nechemia killed him. Nechemia should have said, woe to me. Look what I just did. I killed somebody. How do we under this? Rabbi Nechemia was not responsible. Rather, the pauper was responsible for his own death. He pampered himself so much. But isn't that a stira? Didn't look at Abigail's, her eyes are popping out of her face. Didn't we just say he needs a sous to ride upon, a litra of meat, fatty fowl? Now this guy's responsible for his own death. So the footnote says, the Eitz Yosef say, no, different, the Maharsha, okay, I'm looking at the footnotes, I'm in the art school, Gemara, this person did not grow up in a wealthy society or an aristocratic family, so therefore his needs were less. Yeah? So he needed lentils, but he was a pauper who accustomed himself to fancier foods. But this also teaches us something very important. If somebody has a certain standard, whether it's because of the society that they live in, or the neighborhood they live in, or the family that they came from, and then they fall from that standard, we are required to maintain, not to make them rich, but to maintain the standard. Now we go to example number two. Ready? There's a certain pauper who comes to Rava. Rava says, "Bama taso eid? What are you used to eating? Amarlo b'tarnagolis pituma fattened hen v'yayin yashan. Old wine." Rava said, "Are you not concerned? Ha! Are you ready? Amarle velo chayshta leduchaka docheik. You're pushing away the tzibura. What does it mean? You're pressuring the tzibur. Are you not concerned? Leduchuka di tzibura. It's Aramaic, but we can understand it. You're putting great pressure. You're pushing upon the community. Amarle, the pauper said, atu middihu ka achilna. I'm not eating from the community. Midirachmana. Who am I eating from? From the merciful one, I am eating. As the pasuk says, this is what I was trying to think of before, that I couldn't. I knew it was from Asher, but I said the wrong thing. All eyes look to you with hope. Note it ends in the Lashon Yachid. Achlam, their food, be'ito, in his time. The pauper said, be'itam lo ne'mar. It doesn't say their time. Rather, be'ito in his time. Melamed shekol echad v'achad nosen akash baruch hu parnasaso be'ito. God provides, if he could give man to 2.5 million people for 40 years, if he could provide me with my food for 42 years, if he could provide for billions of creatures since Bria Sa'olam with their food, then the lesson is Hashem gives each and every person his parnasa in his time. At that point, Rava's sister came in, and Dilo Chazayele Til Seire Shine, he hadn't seen her for 13 years. And what did she come in with? A gift? Who remembers from last week? The Asale Tarnagolis Pituma Vyayan Yashan. In walks the sister who hasn't been in the house for 13 years. I think it's a shkacha that I'm up to Tisha B'Av and my sefer is quoting Eicha. I think it's a shkacha that we have a shir last week that's psukim from this week's parasha. You want to know hashkacha? I haven't seen her in 13 years. And in she walks with Tarnagolis Pituma Vyayan Yashan. Amar, Rava exclaimed, Ma'i dakama, what has happened before my eyes? Rava looked at the pauper and he said to them, Na'anesilach, I answered you too quickly. Kum echal, get up and eat. I'm going to end with some thoughts of Hashem Shemfal Hirsch. I hope we have all had some food for thought. The pun is intended. From Hashem Shemfal Hirsch on this week's Parsha. When there is amongst you a destitute person, it is said to the community. On the other hand, is said to the community. When there's a destitute person in the community, on the other hand, speaking to the community or an individual, what would you think? Do not harden your heart. Who's that speaking to?
The individual.
Thus, the mitzvah addresses the community. When you have a poor person in one of your cities, in your land that God gives you, that's a communal obligation. Whose obligation? The individual's obligation. The mitzvah addresses the community and individual alike. The duty of caring for the poor devolves equally upon the community and an individual. It depends on both. Listen to what he says next, Rav Hirsch. There may be no other mitzvah that requires the continuous, simultaneous activity of the community and the individual as the mitzvah for caring for the poor. The requirements of this mitzvah, as we shall see, cannot be met by the individual alone. So that's what the ladies were saying last week. There's only limited funds in the community. So we said that tzedakah fund has a rav running it. That's not my obligation if I'm not running the community fund. My obligation is as an individual. The requirement of this mitzvah cannot be met by the individual alone or by the community alone. You know what he says next? You ready? Each, meaning the community and the individual, must strive to outdo the other. And both must work side by side if the goal of the mitzvah is to be attained. This is very cool. His next sentence is a sign into the times in the 1800s in Germany. The signs on houses warning beggars to keep out. This is Rav Hirsch. She died in 1888 in Germany. The signs on houses warning beggars to keep out because the occupants contributed to the public relief funds are not in keeping with the Jewish spirit emanating from this mitzvah. It's not enough to contribute to the community funds. So apparently in Germany in the 1800s, they hung signs on the door saying no beggars allowed. We contributed to the community funds. You may have fulfilled your communal obligation, but not your individual obligation. Again and again in this chapter, the needy man is referred to as achicha. What's achicha? Your brother. Every needy person who stands before you, even if you do not know him, is your brother, a child of your Father in heaven. And when he turns to you, this is so geschmack. You know, it's just tremendous. It's also a window into history. Things were different in those days, and they weren't so different in those days. You know, you want to see when the mashiach comes or when the pauper comes, he has a letter of recommendation. Who gave you the haskama to be collecting here? When that pauper stands before you, he's your brother. He too is a child of your Father in heaven. And when he turns to you, he has a letter of recommendation from God, who is the father of you both. Dai machsaro, we must provide for what he is lacking. Moreover, you are to give him a shor yachsalo. You should take into account his personal situation and the habits that he formed when his circumstances were better. So if his circumstances were better, and he always bought, or she always bought Valentini, what's it called? Valentini shoes. I also don't know. If the situation when they were better is that they always bought Valentini shoes, then I am not allowed to judge why they are buying Valentini shoes today. That is not my business. Dai machsero, for what he lacks according to his needs. Lashon yachid. Because God is the one who gives fat and foul and aged wine to every person. Now, if he grew up in a poor household and he moves to a rich community and he wants to be like everybody else, that's a different story. That's the guy with the lentils. You are to give him a share yachsar lo, take into account his personal situation and habits he formed when his circumstances were better. The mitzvah of Nason Titein, Dai Machsaro, and Pasoach Tivtach, and the warning not to harden your heart, it's so beautiful. With all this said and done, I'm going to say, before I continue with Rav Shammai Shimon Falvish, Mi Ka'am Chayisra. When can you go to the hospital? And I've been in the situation multiple times, and there's a code on the door, and you can go in, and you can have a full meal. And they set up a tzedakah fund for people you don't know, and quickly, they exceed their goal more than ever imagined, have produced all the wonders of Jewish benevolence. Because of these mitzvos, the dispersed sons of Beis Yaakov have become one great charitable society, whose activities are evident worldwide. And Jewish homes and Jewish hearts have come to the aid of all those in distress and in need of help. However, the duty of the Jew does not end here. We need individuals, voluntary relief organizations. What we probably just heard was Hatzalah. The task imposed by the mitzvah of tzedakah is so great and important that only the combination of communal efforts, organizational efforts, and private efforts can lead to the proper accomplishment. A couple of more sentences. V'lo yera levavcha betitcholo. You shall not be bad, feel bad in your heart when you give to him. Give with a cheerful heart. Ready? Give with a cheerful heart. For the manner in which you give raises or lowers the value of the gift immeasurably. The manner in which it is given raises or lowers the gift. As the Gemara says, Bava Basra, Kol Hanosein Prutal Ani, are you listening to me? Misbarech B'sheish Brachos, whoever gives a pruta, a coin to the pauper, is blessed with six blessings. V'hamefayso Bidvarim, but one who speaks pleasantly and appeases him with words, Mitbarech B'acharasar Brachos, is blessed with 11 blessings, almost double. Then the Gemara goes on to give proof from two different psukim that if you give him a coin, you're blessed. We're not doing it now. We don't have time. Six blessings. Whoever wants to look it up could look it up in Bava Basra 9b, Tess Amar Beis. But if you give him a kind word with the charity, you're blessed with 11 blessings. I'm finishing. Ready? Under Jewish law, help and support are assured to every poor person who is in need of assistance. And tzedakah should not shame the recipient. Moreover, one who is unable to work for whatever reason, and he is unable to earn a living, but out of misplaced pride, deprives himself of the necessities of life through tzedakah, bears a heavy burden of responsibility. Did you hear what I just said? One who is unable to work for whatever reason, be it an illness, be it an emotional challenge, be it a mental challenge, be it he can't find parnasah, and he deprives himself of tzedakah, taking tzedakah, in other words, because of pride, bears a heavy burden of responsibility. Call Mishu Tzarich Lital, says Yerushalmi Peyak. Whoever needs to take ve'eino notel and does not take, hareza shofech damim. What does that mean? It's as if he spilled blood. Someone who needs to take. And the community is established to give. And you're commanded to give. And there will always be individual, communal, and organizational funds in and does not take. It's as if he has committed shvichus damim. At the same time, just a final note. The law attaches great value to the preservation of a person's independence. That's why the highest degree is to not give somebody tzedakah, but to give somebody
a job.
Yeah. A person should be prepared to restrict himself to the barest necessities of life. So there's two inyanim here. One is what's my responsibility, and one is the pauper's achrayas. Yeah. I have to do my job. That does not negate what he is supposed to do. Okay? A person should be prepared to restrict themselves to the barest necessities of life. But he's not talking now about my achrayus. Now he's talking about the evyon. And accept any work, even if it is considered menial in the eyes of the world, in order to avoid taking charity. In no society is honest toil held in such high esteem as it was amongst Jews of old. In no other society is honest, hard toil considered in high esteem like of Jews of old. Some of our great heroes of spirit, among them Hillel, Rav Sheshes, Rav Hoshea, Rav Chanina, Rav Yeshua, lived in the most straitened circumstances and eked out their livelihoods. Woodcutters, blacksmiths, cobblers, porters, and water carriers. So ultimately, I have a mitzvah. Not only do I have a mitzvah, it's not a chesed. It's not because I feel bad. It's not because I don't want to see you living like that. It's not for no selfish consideration other than the fact that God commanded we must give. Why? Because it's not my money. How much do I have to give in order to maintain his level? And if he came from an aristocratic family, Hillel the Zaken ran before him to maintain that level. And because of this matter, the Pasuk says, Hashem will bless you in all the undertakings of your hand. Nason titein lo v'al yera levavcha betitein lo teshuvah, tefillah, and the selfless giving of tzedakah are the ransom for the soul. And be'ezros Hashem this chodesh alol, as we work on ourselves and all aspects of ourselves, ani l'dodi v'dodi, we have to improve in adam v'makam, interaction between man and God. Don't forget, ish l're'ehu u'matanos l'avyonim, it's the ransom and it's the springboard, tzedakah, to giving us the purest tefillah and the purest teshuvah, and be'ezros Hashem, and that's chus, we should all be inscribed and sealed. We should always be givers. We should always do it with the respect that every person deserves. And we should be zochah to a kasiva, v'chasima tova, and a shana tova u'mivu rachas, and a chodesh tov of bracha and Yeshua. Amen, amen, v'amen. Thank you, ladies. Amen.